2 weeks later, New York did, which made it the 13 original colonies. 1.4 million men and women have given their lives to keep us an independent country. That number is just staggering for me. 1.4 million. And sometimes I think it's an independence that we do not appreciate. It's an independence we take for granted. We sang that song, America the Beautiful, and it was hard for me to sing because I'm trying to figure out, is America still beautiful? Murders, mass murders all over the country by Islamic terrorists. Murders in the cities. School children being gunned down. And I'm going to tell you the reason I believe that happens is because of the church. It happens because God's people don't seek God. The title of the sermon today is The Voice of God Speaking. When is the last time we heard God speak? When is the last time the church cared enough about hearing the voice of God so that it makes a difference in us and in the church? God help us. God help America. Because the only thing that is going to save this country is when God's people begin to listen to God's voice and do what God tells us to do. There can be no exception to that. And we sit back. And we've seen the murder of 100,000 or so children in the womb. We call it abortion. It's murder. And somehow, we protest sometimes, but do we pray? Do we earnestly seek God for our nation? I believe that America is under the judgment of God because America has refused to listen to the voice of God. It's not because God isn't speaking. It's because we're not listening. We're not learning. We're not doing what God's word tells us to do. We watch our constitutional rights be infringed upon all the time. And do we pray? Or do we just complain about it? It's easy to complain, isn't it? It's easy to talk to other people and denounce whoever and whatever. It is harder to pray. And until God's people realize that prayer is the only answer, there is no hope for America and there is no hope for the church. Maybe this church. Stand with me as I read the scripture this morning. Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my rebuke, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes. Pray with me. Father, I pray that your word today would sink into our hearts. I pray that today you would speak to us in a voice that cannot be misunderstood. I pray that you'd speak to us very clearly through the Holy Spirit and that you would ignite a passion within us for personal change, for church change, for country change, for all the changes that need to happen so that your people will once again make you first. We'll once again live our lives for your glory and for your honor. We'll once again put you first in every circumstance in which we find ourselves. Father, do in us what only you can do. We thank you for your love, for your grace, and your mercy, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Be seated. We are going through chapter 9 of Tozer's book. The title of this chapter is The Voice of God Speaking. If you want to know where we're going to go from here, the books are out on there are some books out on the table in the vestibule. Pick those up if you can afford to reimburse the church. I think it's $10. That's fine if you can't take it anyway. And what we're going to do is we're going to preach from 9 all the way through the end. We're taking 1 week off. That's the week of July 17th when I'll be talking about the different things in Bible school, Kiko, as soon as you tell me what they are. Tozer said this: if you just want to be happy and nothing else, you had better steer away from the Spirit-filled life. The same Holy Spirit who will give joy will also allow you to share His burdens and His pain. The Christian life is not some kind of rose garden. It's not kind of just skipping through life and expecting everything to go our way. As a matter of fact, Christian life is maybe the hardest thing to live, because it takes discipline and determination to live in obedience to God. Heard of Charles Spurgeon? I thought this week about the pain and the burdens that the Holy Spirit can sometimes bring, and we've experienced those things. But Charles Spurgeon is perhaps the greatest preacher ever in the English language. Not my opinion, the opinion of many, many people over the years. And he battled against what he called causeless depression his whole life. He said, "This shapeless, undefinable, yet all-beclouding hopelessness cannot be reasoned with. Fighting this type of depression is as difficult as fighting with mist." But he did fight it with faith. "I am heartily ashamed of myself," he said, "for falling into it, despondency. But I'm sure there is not remedy for it like a holy God. I'm subject of depression so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go to. But I always get back again by this: I know that I trust Christ. I have no reliance but in Him, and if He falls, I shall fall with Him. But if He does not, I shall not. Because He lives, I shall live also, and I spring to my legs and fight with my depressions of spirit and get victory through it. And so may you do, and so you must, for there is no other way of escaping from it." We can listen to God. We can do what God's called us to do. It is possible for each one of us, and I don't want to necessarily just be a naysayer and a prophet of doom, but I am telling you that we need to listen to the voice of God, and when we do, and we will, that we can change individually, that we can change as a church, that we can change as a nation. I know that's absolutely possible. You've experienced life change, and so have I. And we need to continue. But if we don't change, if we don't continue to be formed to the image of His Son, then we become stagnant and we begin to deteriorate. Charles Spurgeon experienced both joy and severe doubts, bouts of depression, but he was totally reliant upon God. He heard the voice of God and rested in His presence. Is that possible for us? Absolutely it is. We can. Henry Blackaby, have you ever taken a study experiencing God? You ever done that discipleship thing? If you can, you should. Henry Blackaby says this: God speaks through His Word, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances. And when we open His Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, God speaks to us. God tells us what His plan is for us. God tells us what His purpose is for us. God speaks to us and encourages us through the Holy Spirit. He leads, He guides, He directs, He counsels, He comforts. We need to make reading His Word and studying His Word and meditating on His Word a priority in our lives. It can't be just hit and miss. God speaks through prayer. Now, I'm not going to tell you that he speaks verbally all the time. But you know when you're praying that you can hear and do hear the voice of God. And when we hear the voice of God, we need to respond to it and do exactly what he says we need to do, whether or not we enjoy it. Because we realize sometimes when we speak to God in prayer, he speaks back to us, telling us we need to get some things together. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit promises us the forgiveness of sin. The Holy Spirit leads us to obedience. And he does that in prayer. And the amazing thing about prayer is, in Romans chapter 8, it says, when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us because he knows the mind of God. God speaks through the church. And it's not the building, it's the people who make up the church. It's the pastors, the elders, the deacons, the teachers. Anyone can be used by God to speak for him if they live for him and are directed by the Holy Spirit. So that's key, isn't it? We need to live for him. We need to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And when God speaks to us to say something to someone else, then do it. But here's what I believe, that when God speaks and tells us to do something, he also speaks to someone else and validates what he's been saying. Several years ago, we had an associate pastor named Michael DeVries. Michael's just a wonderful man, good husband, great father. As a matter of fact, that little girl who was with him, his daughter, when she came and just graduated from high school. Unbelievable how time flies. But Michael was led by God to go to North Carolina to help plant a church. And in praying, I believe that he was going down there with no income, with nothing. 3 children. And I believe that God was leading us as a church to continue to pay his insurance. I came in one day, and Jamie Barker was sitting at the desk, and he was a treasurer at that time. And I just stopped and said, Jamie, I believe that God wants us to continue to pay for Michael's family's insurance. And he said, I've been praying for the same thing. And God said to me that we need to do that. It's a confirmation. And we brought it to the church. And the church, for the most part, agreed that we should pay Michael's insurance. That's how we react when God speaks to us. We need to be listening. We need to be sharing. We need to share what he's saying with other people. God does speak. And his word must be validated. And here's just a little bit of a, maybe a different kind of way to do that. John Maxwell was pastor of Faith Memorial Church in Lancaster, Ohio. His father was the chancellor of what then was Circleville Bible College. And he was standing in the hallway one day, and lady came into the church, sweet, maybe that was the angels of God singing for us, or playing for us, but no, that's fine. And he was standing in the hallway, and a lady came into him and said, Pastor, I believe God wants me to sing today. Well, what are you going to say about that? Go ahead and sing. Well, she sang, and she wasn't sure of the words. She didn't get the melody right. Nothing really happened well. And so the next week, she came back in and said, Pastor, I believe God wants me to sing today. And he said, when God tells me he wants you to sing today, then you'll sing. But it's one of those things about being validated, God's word being validated to us, and God teaches us through the church. Circumstances. I don't believe in coincidence. Do you? I don't believe in coincidence at all. The Bible says God guides the steps of a good person, of a good man. Steps of a good man are guided, directed, led by the Lord. And so I believe that when things happen in our lives, they happen for a purpose. And I'm not sure all the time what the purpose is for me, but I do know that God wants to get my attention. So God speaks to us through his word, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances. And one of the best ways for me to to think about that is in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And you know the story. If I could just realize where 2 Samuel is in my Bible, we'd be a lot better off. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Chapter 11 talks about David. And chapter 11 basically says this: in the time when men went out to war, David stayed home. And one evening, David went out on the balcony and he looked across the city. And over yonder on the porch, he saw a beautiful woman, Bathsheba, taking a bath. And he was entranced. So he sent people to bring her back to the palace. Had a sexual experience. She finds out she's pregnant. And so her husband, who is doing what the rest of the nation is doing, is away at the battlefield. He brings that husband home. And he encourages that husband to go home and sleep with his wife so that nobody will know it's him. But Uriah is a man of honor, and he refuses to go to his wife. And so as a result, David tells his generals, put Uriah where the fighting is the most fierce, and then withdraw from him. So David, not only guilty of adultery, guilty of murder. And sometimes we are in our sin and we need somebody to come and let us know. 2 Samuel chapter 12, listen. And the Lord sent Nathan to David. Is God going to speak here? He's going to speak through his prophet. Just like God speaks to us through others. He speaks through his prophet. He came to him and said to him, there were two men in a certain city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had very many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing but one little ewe lamb, which he had bought, and he brought it up, and it grew up with him and his children. It used to eat of his morsel and drink from his cup and lie in his arms. And it was like a daughter to him. Now there came a traveler to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take one of his own flock or herd to prepare for the guest who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. And then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Imagine that. Just imagine that. Y'all have pets. I know that many of you have pets. I just love dogs. I love dogs. I'm not crazy about cats, but I love dogs. And 5 or 6 years ago, we had a dog that was that Sarah had prayed for a few years, and we got that dog, and she lived 16 and a half years, and we had to put her down. That's a horrible experience. And a few years after that, we got a rescue dog. His name was Romeo. And 6 weeks ago, we had to put him down. Right after Lexi was gone, for some reason, Tom and Cheryl Powell invited us over to their home. They had puppies. They were in possession of a litter of puppies. Is that better? And I was sitting in a chair across the room, and all of a sudden, this little puppy, completely white, just gorgeous, he looked at me and started walking toward me, and then he went down on his belly with all four legs out. Then he came a little closer, and he did the same thing. And he did that 3 or 4 times till he got over to my chair, and I picked him up and held him, and he crawled up on my shoulder and went to sleep. Diane didn't want a dog then, and so we left without that dog. But I said we're going to have that dog, and so we went back to Tom and Cheryl's on the very day they were going to take that dog back. I can't tell you how much I fall in love with these dogs. I can't. They become as much a part of my heart as almost anything else. And if someone came and did harm to one of my dogs, there would be real, real trouble. And so this man, poor, one lamb, had his whole life stolen from him by a man who could afford flocks. And Nathan went to David and said, "You are the man." David was immediately humbled. But you know, there are consequences to sin. And I'm thinking from the time that Uriah died up till the time that Nathan came, almost a year had passed, and I'm thinking, did David not hear from God during that time? Did David even pay attention to God? Or did that sin put up a roadblock that he did not get through? I'm always amazed because I have a hard time thinking about how an adulterer and a murderer can be called a man after God's own heart. Yet at the same time, we also can be people after God's own heart. But there are consequences to sin. There are consequences from not listening and heeding the voice of God. Nathan said to David, "Because of your sin, this child will die." I want you to know, David said that person shall repay fourfold. Four of David's sons died as a result of that sin. Our sin has consequences, and a lot of times our sin has those terrible consequences because we are not listening to God speaking. You would think that we would be driven to our knees when there's something in our life that needs to change, that when even if things are going well, that we would spend time in prayer with God so that if there was something that needed to be changed, God could speak to us and we begin to change it. But change is hurtful. Changing a lifestyle, changing a way that we live, changing our thoughts and our attitudes sometimes is painful. It's like a surgeon using a scalpel. And that's exactly what God does sometimes. He takes his scalpel and he carves away at our hearts. And he carves away at the sin that needs to be removed. It's painful to change. And yet if we're going to be the people we need to be, if God is going to speak to us and use us, then we need to hear his voice. We need to hear him speaking. How'd Henry Blackaby said, God speaks to us through his word, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances. Be alert. Be ready. Here's question number one for us to consider. How many of us are willing to hear the voice of God? How many of us are willing to hear the voice of God? Tozer cited a passage in Matthew chapter 23. Verse 34, Jesus says, "Therefore I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, and some you will flog in your synagogues and persecute from town to town." Then he says in verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Were these people listening to God? Absolutely not. And because of that, there were consequences. Jesus very directly speaks. People deliberately don't listen. And we wonder why we, individually, as a church, as a nation, find ourselves sometimes in the condition we're in. When we hear the voice of God, and we respond to the voice of God, and we begin to live what the voice of God tells us to do, our lives will change. Proverbs chapter 1, wisdom cries aloud in the streets. The Holy Spirit God cries aloud in the streets. We can hear it and listen to its voice and do what it tells us, or we can ignore it and keep walking the same path that we've been walking, doing the same old thing, all the same old way, all the same old time. There can be no change if we do not hear the word of God. In James chapter 1, it says, if we lack wisdom, all we need to do is ask God, and he will do what? He will give it to us liberally, not holding it back. But when we have to ask him with no doubting. Do you believe that God can still change our nation? Do you believe that God can still change your heart? Do you believe that God's will and his purposes can still be done in the midst of a world that is going straight to hell? Do we believe that? Then we need to start listening, and we need to start doing, and we need to start hearing, discerning, and sharing the word of God. There are always consequences. Here's the second question. How many people are worthy to hear his voice? The first is, how many people are willing? How many people are worthy? Acts chapter 13. I'm going to start reading in verse 42. And you need to read through these things, the things ahead of this, the things after this. But I'm going to start reading in verse 42. As they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting on the Sabbath of the Sabbath broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light to the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Who did Jesus come to first? He came to the Jews. Did they listen? No. And when Paul was called by God to be a pastor, Paul and Barnabas went to preach the word of the Lord. And even though many were enamored, those who were the religious authorities began to mock. And so what happened? They did not listen. So God said to them, go to the Gentiles. An amazing thing here for me is that when the Gentiles heard this, they rejoiced. And as many as been appointed, ordained, marked out for eternal life, believed. When people listen to God speaking, things happen. People are saved. People's lives are transformed. There is a complete reformation of God's church and of God's people. We need to be worthy to hear the Lord. How do we become worthy? Psalm 66, 18 says, if I treasured iniquity, if I treasured sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. We need to confess sin. We need to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit. We need to be in his word. We need to be walking with him as best we know how all the time. And then I think we're ready to hear his voice. Now here's a teaching that's not exactly, Tozer calls it erroneous. There is an erroneous idea that all one has to do is accept Christ and you're in. That's all you have to do. Accept Christ and you're in. There's nothing that follows. They believe they have no fight to fight, no warfare, no job to do, no temptations. And he says, you're right to believe that you're in, but that's where the fight starts. It's not enough just to walk an aisle and pray a prayer and then think that you're born again. We are born again when life transformation begins to start. Born again simply just it means that here's your physical life, here's your spiritual life, born again. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does my will. If you're a Christian, we need to fight, pray through, suffer it out, live in praise and worship, because if we don't, things will begin to deteriorate. And you and I need to listen to the voice of God, because change is imperative. Put a couple exclamation points there. Change is imperative. It's imperative in our lives, in the life of the church, in the life of our nation. Here are some of the factors that will keep us from change. One, there are no model saints. This is Tozer, not me. Although, I believe he's right. Or there are not many model saints. We need to raise up believers whose lives can be followed by other believers. We need to walk with God in such a way that people see us and say, I want to have the Lord work in my life just as He is working in their lives. Isn't that true? We need model Christians. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. No model saints. The second thing that Tozer pointed out was carnality. Do you know what a carnal Christian is? Not necessarily. A carnal Christian is one who has backslidden, one who has begun to live just exactly the way they lived prior to salvation. Been there, done that, bought the hat, was the star of the movie. And in my rebellion against God, when I fell from God, when I fell away from relationship, when I had people ask me, I thought you were a Christian. I always heard the voice of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His children. And so I know when we get into that place in our lives, when we begin to move away from God, I believe with all my heart you cannot lose your salvation. The Bible teaches us that once you're adopted into the family of God, you cannot be separated out. But I never stopped hearing His voice. But I didn't want to listen. I wanted my way. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And then when God said it, one day God said, that's enough. Carnal Christians are those who order their lives after the values of the world. There's more of the world in us than there is Christ in us. Not living in obedience, not heeding the word of God, neglecting the word of God, not living for Christ. Listen to how Tozer describes the church today. Carnal, immature, without miracles, without wonders, lacking a wonderful sense of the presence of the Lord, held together by social activities and nothing else. That's an indictment, isn't it? Carnal, immature, without miracles. You know what I think the greatest miracle that we can see is? It's the conversion of a soul. It is when someone comes to Christ, when someone believes that Jesus is who He said He is, that He's the Savior, and they need a Savior. And they believe who He is, and He becomes part of their life. That's the greatest miracle. When's the last time we saw something like that here? Why is that? Do we not pray? Are we carnal? Without wonders. Lacking a wonderful sense of the presence of the Lord. How often do you individually, how often do I, experience the presence of the Lord in a way that is absolutely real? Sometimes I think we try to conjure up a feeling that God is here. How often is our worship, our singing, our praying, our speaking, completely focused on who God is and what He wants to do. Carnal, immature, without miracles, without wonders, lacking a wonderful sense of the presence of the Lord, held together by social activities and nothing else. Let me ask you a couple questions. First is, are we them? Are we them? What are we doing in this church that can be done without the presence and leading of the Holy Spirit? If God removed the Holy Spirit from this place, would we know it? Why or what are we doing that can't be explained by any other way or reason except the Holy Spirit is doing it? I want to repeat those three questions. What are we doing in this church that can be done without the presence and leading of the Holy Spirit? If God removed the Holy Spirit from this place, would we know it? And what are we doing that can't be explained by any other way or any other reason except that the Holy Spirit is doing it through us? And I don't want you to answer those questions, and some of you have already answered the questions in your head. Don't answer those too quickly. Think about them. Pray over them. Meditate on them. Listen to and be guided by the Holy Spirit. And if things need to begin to change in your life and in my life and in the life of the church, then we need to start doing it. I told Joyce Reynolds this morning, I hate this book. I hate the book by Tozer, Rut, Rot, or Revival. I hate it. Because he has a way of tearing you apart. You can't be the same person after you begin to read this book. But after tearing you apart, he gently puts you back together. It's an incredible book. Read it. When we run out of copies out there on that table, we'll order more copies. Because I think everyone needs to read that book. Here's something else that keeps us from being the church God wants us to be. Carelessness. Carelessness. Careless Christians do not discipline themselves or examine themselves. And I wish Kyle was here this morning, because last week we used a quote by Socrates. Today it's Plato. That's right up Kyle's alley. Plato said, a life that is not examined is a kind of death. A life that is not examined is a kind of death. I remember, I don't have problems with birthdays anymore, but I had one on my 30th birthday. My 30th birthday was death for me. I hated it. I didn't, when it was coming, I didn't want it to come, and it was over. I was glad it was over. My 30th birthday, I came real close to running away and hiding. What'd you say, Gene? It has still been there, yeah, but I was running away from circumstances, running away from responsibilities. Because I realized that all during my life, I had planned for some things to be in place when I was 30 years old, and they were not. I want you to take a look at your spiritual walk with God and plan where you want to see that in the next week or 2 weeks or month or 6 months or in the next year. Where do you want to be in your walk with God? Where do I want to be in my walk with God? We need to set goals, and we need to move toward those goals. We need to be willing to change, to be conformed to the image of His Son, or nothing is going to change. We need to stop being careless. We need to start being disciplined. We need to start examining our lives. And here's the last reason Tozer gives. Coldness of heart. Our hearts have grown cold toward the things of God. He said this, the temperature of many evangelical churches is so chilly that believers are cold in their relationship with Christ. When someone dies, you've been around people who have died and so have I, their body begins to get cold, doesn't it? And after a while, there is no warmth at all. It's like that in the church. When the church begins to die, believers become cold. Or maybe it's when believers become cold, the church begins to die. And the colder the believers come, the more near absolute death the church is. And the colder we become, death inevitably will follow. The only way that can be changed is to listen to God speaking, is to listen to the voice of God. Tozer said, "We sing songs that were written out of hearts that were hot as fire. We sing them coldly to a creeping tempo." When's the last time you were passionate about the songs you were singing? When's the last time they made a difference in our lives? When's the last time we were absolutely engulfed in worship when we were singing praise to Him? Isn't that what needs to happen? We need to be so enraptured by God that we are engulfed in His Spirit so that our worship is absolutely pleasing to Him. And I believe when our worship is like that, life transformation begins to happen. I guess this is the question. Are we willing to take a chance and listen to the voice of God? Are we willing to change, to undergo whatever it takes to be led by the Holy Spirit? How does God speak to us? Through the Bible, through prayer, through the church, and through circumstances. God speaks to us in very definite ways, tells us what His plan is for our life, what His purpose is for our life, tells us what He wants to do in and through the church, tells us what He wants to do in and through us to shape our community and our nation. We need to listen to the voice of God. Pray with me. Father, thank You for Your word today. Thank You how it speaks and should speak to us. God, I thank You for men like A.W. Tozer who is able to put into words those things that need to happen in our lives. I thank You that reading his book is not comfortable because change needs to happen in us. And Lord, we know that when change happens in us, it happens in the church. It happens in Your kingdom. And people begin to see You in all of Your glory at work in this world to accomplish Your will and Your purpose. Lord, may we be faithful. May we learn to be a people of the Word. May we hear from You on a regular basis. And may everything we do result in Your glory. We thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.